sermon for today, the feast day of St. John, Apostle and Evangelist, is entitled, by me, Jesus Loved Him. It was written by the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. He first gave this sermon December 27, 1998. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Throughout his Gospel, St. John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It gets a bit tiresome to read that, but it must have been even more tiresome for the other 11 to know that it was true, or even just to know that John thought it was true. If John was, in fact, Jesus' favorite, the obvious explanation for it is that John understood him best. Teachers tend to like especially the people who are buying what they're selling. The evidence for John's deep understanding of Jesus is in the 5 New Testament books which bear his name: the Gospel, 3 Epistles, and the Book of the Revelation. John was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus called him to be a disciple. His brother James, also a fisherman, as were their friends, the brothers Peter and Andrew. John is the only one of them, or of any of the original disciples, who did not die as a martyr. In today's Gospel, Jesus tells St. Peter to do what he wants him to do and not compare it to what John has to do. Jesus says to Peter, if I want John to wait around until I come back, what is it to you? Do what I tell you to do. Jesus had John wait around long enough to receive a vision of what will happen at the end of the world and then write it down as the Book of Revelation. Christmas is a season of the Incarnation. The Latin root carne means meat or flesh, as in carnal, carnality, chili con carne, incarnation. The Incarnation is a doctrine that in Jesus, God becomes a human being that had been, what had only been spiritually become also flesh, meaty, Jesus Christ, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. It is not that the other New Testament writers didn't talk about the Incarnation. It is just that St. John tells us about it in the greatest detail, and that tells us how God brings us into the Incarnation by bringing the Incarnation into us. Before the first Christmas, the Jews had heard God's word, and they had some inkling of eternal life. But as St. John tells us in today's epistle, what had previously been ideas and thoughts and words now became things one could literally get one's hands on. He wrote, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, declare we unto you. In other words, we looked at God, and we touched God, and now we are telling you about it. The first 14 verses of St. John's Gospel serve us as a prologue to the entire book. In the prologue, he calls Jesus the Logos. The Greek word logos is normally translated word, and it is where we get English words like logic. In philosophical terms, the Logos was the principle that lay behind the created word, what made it all make sense, what held the world together. Logos also means the way something is presented to the world. You know me from what I say and what I look like and what I do. And all these things taken together are my word, my Logos, my way of making myself known. Corporations have logos to stand for themselves. We'll design something. St. John says that Jesus is the Logos in that he is what makes the whole creation make sense, since he is the one through whom God does the creating. Jesus is also God's word in that he is the way God shows himself to the world. echoing such statements Jesus makes as, I and the Father are one, and he who has seen me has seen the Father. The climax of the prologue to St. John's Gospel is the incarnation of the Logos. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means the ordering principle of all creation became a human being. The way God shows himself to the world was born as a baby who would grow up to die. It is also from St. John that we hear about the two greatest sacraments of the Church. We should all know from the prayer book that a sacrament is an outward, invisible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Jesus is the sacrament of God's presence on earth. His human body is the outward, invisible sign. The inward and spiritual grace is Godhead, Godness, because Jesus is of one substance with the Father. The sacrament extends the incarnation of God into time. In the sacraments, God comes to us in material form, just as he came first in the human flesh of Jesus. In chapter 3 of St. John's Gospel, Jesus says, baptism is necessary. St. John writes, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then in chapter 6, Jesus tells us how necessary Holy Communion is. As St. John writes, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Baptism and Holy Communion put the incarnation of God inside us. And St. John tells us how it happens. Finally, in Revelation, St. John gives us in the comforting ceremony, the comforting summary of the ultimate message. God is in charge. In the long run, everything is going to be fine. Because we hear also what St. John said. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins. It's no wonder Jesus loved him. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.